1:6-7:6. What then are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, and if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. Well, while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code.
Be seated.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be... Hey, I never think I thought of that. Let me think about that. Whoa.
I want to be a teacher when I grow up.
Elementary teacher. I like little kids.
A babysitter.
A pastor.
A dolphin trainer.
A gentle without each bunch.
A haircutter.
A person who helps in charities.
I'm a cashier at Walmart.
An author. Chapter books about mythical creatures and animals and things.
I want to be a lawyer.
Lawyer.
Pilot.
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 And a dad.
A pilot racer dad.
Scientist.
Scientist.
Paleontologist.
Mine for dinosaur bones and studies them.
YouTuber. Movie star.
A famous actor.
Actor. Actor.
On stage.
On TV.
On Disney Channel.
Or commercials.
I gotta be a model.
Model.
I'll work it.
If I want a model, I'll just be a policeman.
Police.
Police.
Police. Police officer.
A cop.
I want to car chases.
Catch bad guys.
A superhero.
Batman.
Spider-Man.
I would like to go into the U.S. Army because my grandma, she loved the Army, but she never went into the service.
I want to be third African-American gymnast.
Gymnastic coach.
I want to be a professional dancer.
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 Dance teacher.
Ballerina.
Professional soccer player.
I have a shirt on right now that's for Barcelona.
Soccer player.
Basketball player.
Basketball, football, or soccer player.
Or baseball. I can never choose.
I do not know.
I'm still working on that.
Maybe when I grow up, I'll pick.
I already have a whole plan.
Serve the Air Force for 20 years, become a businessman, make my own company for cars.
I want to be a Pokemon trainer.
I want to work at Target.
I want a cake.
I want to be a pop star.
Rock star.
Singer.
Singer.
I want to be a cook.
A cook, but I don't really know how to actually cook. I want to be an artist.
Painter.
I want to be an artist that goes around painting walls.
An artist and a video game maker.
Video game designer.
Video game.
I want to be a filmmaker.
Whatever my dad is.
Do you know what your dad is?
I'm not sure. I'll be a doctor.
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 A mermaid.
A mermaid doctor.
Heart surgeon.
Neurosurgeon.
Cardiologist.
Gynecologist.
Pediatrician. The kids doctor.
Pediatrician.
And why do you want to do that?
I want to be a doctor and then I can wear rainbow sweatpants.
I really want to be a nurse. Everyone says you have to be very good at science and math. I'm not really, but I still want to be one.
I want to be a pet doctor because I like helping animals.
Pet vet.
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 Veterinarian.
Veterinarian.
Zoologist.
Princess fairy zookeeper.
How much do you think they get paid?
$29.
You remember when you were asked that question as a kid? You remember what you wanted to be growing up? But that's the question that a lot of times little children are asked. What do you want to be? But very few people grow up wanting to become a slave to sin. You didn't hear that, did you? And yet, we live in a world today where maybe that happens far too often, that people grow up to be a slave to sin. And so we're going to look at that a little bit, and we're going to look at what it means to be actually a servant of God, to be set free, to become more of who we were meant to be. Life is about choices, isn't it? And when children are children, the choices they make are who they're going to play with that day, what they're going to play, what they're going to do for fun. But something happens around adolescence. All of a sudden, those choices, and you've probably heard me say this, those choices start to have lifelong consequences. Like alcohol. Like drugs, like am I going to have sex? And all of those comes with lifelong consequences. Addiction, unwanted diseases, and pregnancy, and so on and so forth. And so something also happens at that same time. Around middle school, we start to wrestle with who am I? What is my identity? And our identity, a lot of times, is based on how other people perceive me or look at me. And they either build us up or they tear us down. And it's a real problem that is happening in our world today, because a lot of us don't know our identity, especially those of us who follow Jesus Christ. I've had my heart broken many, many times, especially when I was a youth pastor, by the decisions young people make. But it's not just about young people. It's about all people. We all wrestle with our identity, who we really truly are in this world. And what this passage in Romans 6, 15 and 7 through 7, 6 is really talking about is you're either a slave to sin or a servant of God, a servant of righteousness. And every one of us serves somebody, don't we? We think a lot of times we're serving ourselves, but in truth, we're serving somebody. And the great musician, prophet, Bob Dylan, just down the road, wrote a song when I was in high school. And it went like this, the chorus. But I'm not going to sing it like he would sing it, although I probably could sing it like Bob Dylan. The one musician or singer that I can maybe sing like. But you're going to have to serve somebody, And then the ladies in the background say, serve somebody. But anyways, oh, serve somebody. Yeah, yeah, serve somebody. Oh, it may be the devil or it might be the Lord. But you're going to have to serve somebody. And as human beings, we're going to either serve the devil or we're going to serve the Lord. And that's what the text is even saying today, is you're either a slave to sin or a servant of God. Rebecca Manley Pippert, who wrote Out of the Salt Shaker, said this. And that wasn't supposed to happen. Did that? Oh, it didn't come up on your screen. Something saying I need to reboot. So, but anyways, I'm going to click try later. But this is what Rebecca Pippert said. Whatever controls us is our Lord. The person who seeks power is controlled by power. The person who seeks acceptance is controlled by acceptance. We do not control ourselves. We might think we do, but in truth, the thing that we are chasing after ends up controlling us, doesn't it? And so we're going to look more extensively at that. As a youth pastor and as an adult pastor now, I can tell you that this is not just a youth problem. It's a human problem that we all struggle with, wanting to be something of significance and importance in this world. And I really believe this. I sincerely believe this. If that we can embrace what this passage is telling us, our lives will be completely changed and transformed. But most people don't want their lives changed and transformed that much, do they? They don't want God to have that much control of their life. They would prefer that they would give God those areas that God will bless them with, but they want to also have their other areas where they get to choose. Timothy Keller said it this way: you can either be a slave to sin or a servant of God, but you cannot be neither, and you cannot be both. So in truth, you are one of those things today. A slave to sin or a servant of God. And to help us, I went through this passage of Romans 6, 15 through 7, 6. And this is what slave to sin and servant of God looks like. A slave to sin is under the law. And it leads to death, it leads to condemnation, which is actually it leads to hell, it leads to bondage, leads to more sinful behavior, and it's motivated by fear and shame. On the other hand, though, a servant of God is under grace, and it leads to life, and leads to eternal life, it leads to heaven, it leads to freedom. It leads to holy living, and it's motivated by love and forgiveness. And when you put those two things side by side, the answer seems so obvious, doesn't it? It seems clear. Who would choose to be a slave to sin? And yet, that is the path the world repeatedly chooses again and again. And tragically, it also is the path that many people who say they're followers of Jesus Christ choose again and again. Who are we? What is our identity? What are we becoming? Determines on who we serve. The difference is amazing. On December 18th, 1865, one of the most important decisions ever made in the United States happened. Do you know what that date was? I'm going to put you on a history test. Any teachers out there? Oh! Remember that date? December 18th, 1865. Who was president? Abraham Lincoln. Good job. What happened? The Emancipation Proclamation. What it meant was that slaves were now free. They were free. That the world for them had changed. But what happened on December 19th? One day after that. They were legally free, but they still kind of operated as if they were slaves. And in fact, the slave owners got together and said, what we're going to tell the slaves is this. You someday will be free, but today you're still a slave. And they were stuck in the pattern of thinking that they were still slaves, although legally they were free. And that's what happens to a lot of Christians. When we come to know Jesus Christ, we are set free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth is Jesus Christ. So we're set free. But the devil comes along and says, and has a scheme, a plan, a strategy, and he says, someday you'll be free, but you're still a servant or a slave to sin. You still are in bondage to sin. And so we still struggle with being under that bondage, and we don't experience the freedom that God wants to give us. But this passage is actually telling us we are set free now. Why? Because we belong to God. We are His. We are His children. We have a new identity. We're no longer of the past, of the darkness. We are children of the light. And the more we live into that identity, the more deliverance and freedom and hope and encouragement we have. The more we believe, though, that that's something that happens in the future, the more we stay stuck. You see why I'm saying this is so important, that if we grasp the truth of this, our lives will never be the same. Jesus had a lot to say about identity, too. Excuse me. I have a little bit of cold here. He said in John 8:31-36, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you can say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. So fundamentally here, the first question is, have you met Jesus? Have you put your faith in Jesus? Which leads to the second question, if you have you been set free? Or are you still kind of struggling with being a slave and in bondage to sin? It was my 20th year class reunion. Oh, now it's a ways back. But, you know, you go there and you see all your friends, and you see how they've changed. You see that some have lost hair. Some have maybe put on a few pounds. Some have maybe become a surprising shock that one of the kids in my class was a thin toothpick of a kid, and he was a bodybuilder. And I was like, we were talking, and I was trying to figure out who he was. And then all of a sudden, what? You're him? I couldn't believe it. But one of the individuals that I went up to shake his hand, I won't say his name, just in the random possibility that he would listen to a sermon from this church, I went up to shake his hand, and he said, who are you? And he walked away. And, you know, he was the same arrogant, and I'll say the word jerk, that he was in high school. Is there anything sadder than someone who's stuck in the past, living his, like he's still in high school, when he actually should be now a grown man and mature. And yet, isn't that what happens to a lot of Christians? They come to faith in Jesus Christ, they've prayed the prayer, and maybe for a brief moment in time, they were passionate and excited about Jesus, they were going to make a difference in the world, but they go right back to living the old way. They haven't embraced the new life. It seems like this question of identity is driving our culture today. I really believe that part of the problem with our world is that we are putting our identity in the wrong things. We're trying to find hope and happiness and meaning and purpose in the wrong thing. But here is kind of a short list of the things that people try to find identity in. One is maybe their favorite sports team. You know, those people that wear their cheese heads on their head? They base their whole identity on what their team does. They're happy depending on what their team does. And they're sad or distraught. That's just one example. How about we put our identity in our job? I'm somebody because I do this. Or they put their identity in the things they own. I have a house, a beautiful house on the lake. And I'm not saying that's wrong, just so you know. Boy, that could have got me in big trouble. With the best new boat and all the toys, and I'm somebody because I have all of those things. Or we base it on our hobbies, the things we like to do. You know, I'm a great golfer and I'm the best golfer in Coochachin County. That's really saying something, isn't it? Or we base our identity on our education. I have a degree from this university, and you have your plaque on the wall. Or in our present culture, it's maybe our sexual identity. And I'm special because I'm this type of person. The reality is we can search for an identity in this world, and I want you to know right now, whatever identity that you find from the world, it will not measure up. It will not give you fulfillment, complete fulfillment. The identity that we should discover, and we need to discover, is found in this passage. That identity is that you are a child of God, that you are His. You belong to Him. Now, all the other identities, for the most part, you know, they're of the world. But your identity in God, the one that lasts for all eternity, not just for the 70, 80, 90 years that you live here on earth, is that you belong to God. You're His possession. And so I've thought about this many times. How do you really grasp that? Because if you discover your identity in Christ, it affects all your other areas of life. Or it should affect all your other areas of life. Neil Anderson, you've heard me talk about him. He wrote all these great books on your identity in Christ. And sometimes, you know, as a pastor, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You just have to present what other people have said. And I believe that if you understand that you are His, and you understand what I'm about to share, your life will be transformed. And so I'm going to just share with you what Neil Anderson said about your God identity. And these are all scripturally based, so you'll notice the scriptures after each sentence. I'm not going to read those for you, but I'm just going to read the sentence. He said, "Since I am in Christ, by the grace of God, I am now acceptable to God, justified, and completely forgiven. I live at peace with Him. The sinful person I used to be died with Christ, and sin no longer rules my life. I am free from the punishment, condemnation, my sin deserves. I've been placed into Christ by God's doing. I have received God's Spirit into my life. I can recognize the blessings He has given me. I have been given the mind of Christ. He gives me His wisdom to make right choices. I've been bought with a price. I am not my own. I belong to God. I am God's possession, chosen and secure in Him, sealed. I have been given the Holy Spirit as promise of my inheritance to come. Since I have died, I no longer live for myself, but for Christ. I have been more acceptable to God, God's righteousness. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live is Christ's life. I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. I was chosen in Christ to be holy before the world was created. I'm without blame before Him. I was chosen by God, predestined to be adopted as His child. I have been bought out of slavery to sin, redeemed and forgiven. I've received His generous grace. I've been made spiritually alive, just as Christ is alive. I've been raised up and seated with Christ in heaven. I have direct access to God through the Spirit. I may approach God with boldness, freedom, and confidence. I've been rescued from the dark power of Satan's rule and have been brought into the kingdom of Christ. I've been forgiven of all my sins and set free. The debt against me has been canceled. Christ Himself lives in me. I'm firmly rooted in Christ, and I am now being built up in Him. I'm spiritually clean. My old sinful self has been removed. I've been buried, raised, and made alive with Christ. I died with Christ. I've been raised up with Christ. My life is now hidden with Christ and God. Christ is now my life. I have been given a spirit of power, love, and self-control. I've been saved and set apart, sanctified according to God's plan. Because I am set apart, sanctified, and now and one with Christ, He is now not ashamed to call me His brother or sister. I have the right to come boldly before the throne of God. He will meet my needs lovingly and kindly. I have been given great and valuable promises. God's nature has become a part of me. This is what it means to be God's. This is what it means to be set free. Can you see how this can change your life? And yet, if you're like me, and I believe you are, except you have hair, we struggle. We struggle to live into that identity. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But today, I want to challenge you to embrace what God says about you and me, that we are His. We're His children. And that long list I just read for you, I mean, if you want to start memorizing Scripture, that might be the good place to start, those scriptural passages. This is what it means to belong to God. And Jesus was all about helping you and me come to that place where we would be set free from the slavery to sin. In fact, we're to have this intimate relationship with Him. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, this is what Jesus says about us. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't think you can find rest for your soul until you come to Christ. You cannot discover what you were born for until you come to Christ. You can try everything this world has to offer, but only Christ can offer you what your soul truly needs. And so the Apostle Paul in this passage was talking about coming to Christ, coming to an understanding of who you were really meant to be. And so the question I have for you this morning is this. Are you ready? Are you ready to come to Jesus and embrace your God identity? Are you ready to be set free from sin? Are you ready to become a servant of righteousness of God? Because that's what Jesus did for us. It's not what we do for ourselves. It's what Jesus already did for us through the cross. You know, you when you were in the womb, well, even before you were in the womb, your mom and dad made the choice. You didn't make that choice to become an identity, a person. The same is true. God makes the choice to make you who you are. But as parents discover quickly, children make their own choices, don't they? And they sometimes break the parents' heart. Children of God make their own choices, and they break God's heart. But we have a God that continues to woo us and love us and call us back to himself. My desire is that this morning would be the day in which you say yes again, maybe. Maybe it's for the first time, maybe it's for the 100th time. It doesn't really matter. God is wooing you with his love, pursuing you, wanting you to know that you ultimately belong to him. Not for your own self, but for his glory and for his purpose. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you and praise you that even while we were still sinners, you were pursuing and loving us. And Lord, what you did on the cross was more than to just die for our sins. You died on the cross to set us free, to embrace who we were meant to be in the first place, your children, to reflect your glory, to be set free and enjoy what our souls were meant to enjoy, a relationship with you. Lord, we enter back into that relationship now, knowing that we don't belong even to ourselves, but to you. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.